You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford Dog Pound. Get the freshest Cleveland Browns gear by visiting the team shop at First Energy Stadium or shop on the official Browns mobile app. Also, don't miss the new Dog Pound t-shirts with a limited run only at the team shop at First Energy Stadium. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm. We're going to go to the phones real quickly before we play a little after further review, and we're going to bring down Jim from Canton. What's up, Jim?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Travis Benjamin, I think he's timid on punt returns and kickoffs. I think we need to put Gabriel back there. And also, we was talking about the linebackers. Mingo and Jawal Sheard both got sucked in on two plays on that fullback, so I think they're great. Should be lower on them too. And another thing, I think you wanted Jason Verrett before the draft.
I wanted Fuller. Fuller was when he used to go through
the
mock drafts.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Hey, but I had Gilbert rated about fifth or sixth cornerback. He can't tackle, but he's horrible.
I think he's got what they're looking for in terms of a press man corner. Size, speed, length. I think he is the ideal guy physically. It's a matter of translating that into actual production in the NFL. So I know people were pretty split on Gilbert. There were some who had him around five. I know Dane Brugler had him fifth, who we've had on the show many times, who's CBS's NFL draft expert. But there were other people who had him up as the number one corner in the draft. And it's kind of fit your system, fit your scheme. And they're not playing as much press man. Fuller wasn't playing as much press man. He's playing a lot more off in Chicago, and he's doing great. I mean, obviously, we were saying Justin Gilbert was having that success. Your points about Mingo, certainly clear. There was some stuff, he didn't make much of an impact, and a few times he stood out, it was in a bad way. I thought Sheard actually played a solid game there, but you got to get more out of this defense as a unit overall, and it starts with guys that you're counting on to be talented. Let's face it, Markevious Mingo was a sixth overall pick last year. It's time for him to be an impact player.
You're right about this, and I know it's redundant for us to say this, but it is a bye week coming up. And this is where, you have to not only identify, what we as a unit are doing well, but also to the strengths and weaknesses of those individual players. And that's where they're going to go player by player throughout this and say, and that's where I wouldn't mind seeing or be surprised to see a certain player's role, be tapered back or others given more opportunity, regardless of where they were drafted. Because again, in a pass fail league where winning and losing games really is all that matters, whether you got him in, okay, if he's a bust, he's a bust. Taper him back and give someone else an opportunity that can play, that can win you football games, that can make plays. To me, you've got to be able to close your, I don't care where you get him at, put an undrafted free agent to do his job and go make plays. He'll eventually in turn, be due his money regardless of where he was drafted. I'm not a huge advocate of that.
How does it play in the locker room when you have guys who were taken, sixth overall, like Markevious Mingo, and you're waiting to see that impact, and it hasn't happened? And he's been banged up. He's only played two games. I'm far from writing him off by any stretch of the imagination. I think he still has an opportunity to be a very good player in this league. But how does it play in the locker room when, those first-round picks are gold, and you've got to hit on those first-round picks? And when a first-round pick is struggling, and you look at right now the Browns over the last two seasons, you drafted Markevious Mingo. You've drafted Justin Gilbert. You drafted Johnny. Now, Johnny's kind of getting, because Hoyer's playing so well, he's getting that time to develop. Gilbert's played and struggled, and Mingo's played and struggled. So from the three picks in the first round the last two seasons, currently you're not getting much to contribute to this team.
Sure. I'll say this. The players that are not performing, first and foremost, know they need to do better. And that's why, I made the point that I did earlier about Justin Gilbert hanging close to the coach through this time and really developing and working on his craft. Markevious Mingo, I think, just needs to get healthy and also, too, needs to get confident. And that's the one guy that I think might, be more of a schematic guy. Like, we use him in certain situations instead of an every down position guy, which you don't want to see out of the sixth pick in the NFL draft. But also, too, there's an aura around those guys because they're a first round draft pick. And also too, is when you can feel change in the air in a locker room, as crazy as that might sound is, and there's small little rumblings or conversation. Did you hear about the fact that we're going to start, so-and-so is going to start, this game in front of Mingo? And it's the writing on the wall of change. You can feel it coming. You can, as a professional, the signs you know, that coaches are, you know, pulling guys aside or coaching an extra guy. If you see a guy on the field before practice, before when you need to be on the practice field working with a coach, in most cases that coach is trying to speed his progression up because his role is expanding. Little things like that. Uh-huh. Little things like that.
Do you think when you have a guy like Justin Gilbert who's so young and the bye week comes so early, you heard Brian Hoyer say, you know, we don't need to get away. It's week three, so I'm going to be here working on Tennessee. Is Justin Gilbert a guy that, you know, in the locker room you're looking, you're saying, okay, are you staying here putting in extra work or are you bolting town? And how does that play?
I'll say this. Everyone deserves a break, okay? But you can't be satisfied with 1 and 2. And if I'm Justin Gilbert, you can't be satisfied with the body of work that you've played after 3 games. I would do everything I could, go to Hollow Weekends or something to get away, you know, but stay here in Northeast Ohio. You want to be in this building because also, too, is, you know, the coaches want to see, you know, that out of a young player, someone who's receptive and wanting to learn and identifying the fact that a coach can tell you that it's not good enough. But when you say, coach, you know what, it's not good enough for me either. I want to learn or I want to get better. Can you help me? That is the sparkle in a coach's eye, and why they're in this business is because they want to mold that guy. And you know, these defensive back coaches want to mold him into the pick that we all think he's capable of becoming.
And that certainly would be great for this Browns team. Let's bring in our producer Chris Kuhn today. Chris, it's time for a little after further review.
After further review.
There it is.
All right, guys. First question on the board today, who are your offensive and defensive MVPs at the bye week?
After further review, my offensive MVP, I'm going to stick with the man with the ball in his hands on every play, the quarterback Brian Hoyer. Again, I think after this week, he's exceeded expectations. He is playing well. You know, you could have gone with the backfield or the offensive line, but Brian Hoyer controlling this offense is allowing us to be in football games. Defensively, my MVP at this point is going to be Carlos Dansby. He is, again, his two plays, the interception in the first game, as well as the big sack against the Saints. His consistency, you know, I noted that he didn't make that big marquee play this week against the Baltimore Ravens, but his consistency on the football field and his leadership off the field, he's the reason why he's my MVP.
For me, on the offensive side, and Brian Hoyer has been great, and since you said him, I'm going to go offensive line. I just think the O-line in general, that group, that unit of five guys have been the MVPs of this team. They're protecting Brian Hoyer, second-best pass protection efficiency rating in the NFL. They've been great at run blocking and opening up lines for Isaiah Crowell, Ben Tate, and Terrence West. I think this line has been awesome and a big part of the reason why this offense has been so successful. On the defensive side of the ball, my MVP is Paul Kruger. His ability to get to the quarterback has been phenomenal. 2 sacks, plus 2 quarterback hits that turned into interceptions, 1 against Breeze, 1 against Flacco. He's been the most disruptive playmaker on defense thus far for the Browns and gets my defensive MVP.
After further review.
Okay, guys, what's the biggest area of the team that needs to be fixed before the Tennessee game?
Well, I think we know the offense is flourishing right now, but as Coach Pettine said, they're overachieving, so let's hope that stays status quo. But I think the defensive run fits need to be fixed, and that means that, you know, the gap integrity of the defensive linemen and the linebackers and the fitting safeties, whether it's Dante Whitner or Tashawn Gibson, are clear and concise. So that removes the gray air and everything is black and white, which again will allow those guys on the back end to really settle into more coverages that they're comfortable with playing instead of having their backs up against the wall and truly playing that 50-50 run pass.
Yeah, I think the run defense, it just starts up front. The run defense has got to get better. You want to put teams in third and long situations so you can pin your ears back, get to the quarterback, play defense. To me, that's one. And the other one's got to be special teams. The special teams have been questionable 2 weeks in a row now. I remember the game against Cincinnati last year where there were some special team snafus, block punts, etc. This is a team that needs to get the job done and be as good on special teams as any in the league to make up for some of the lack of playmaking talent at other positions. And that's fine. The Browns are getting the most out of what they can right now, and I think there's room to grow on defense. I think the offense, you know, at some point you're going to get Jordan Cameron back healthy. You're getting Ben Tate back. You're getting Josh Gordon back. The offense has room to grow. Special teams needs to be good. It needs to be something that you're not worried about, that just comes out, delivers, does its jobs, and helps shift field position for this team and helps make sure that points get on the board, not take points off of the board for this team.
After further review,
are the Browns getting too cute when it comes to the offensive play calling?
I do not think so after my further review. I think that I am content with Kyle Shanahan's play calling. I think if you looked at the body of work across the NFL of offensive coordinators on what they're integrating as a change of pace type of play, reverses, zone read. We saw Andy Dalton catch a touchdown pass, for gosh sakes, last weekend. So it's a wrinkle that every offense has. And I think up to this point, I think Kyle Shanahan, if we were giving the coaches a grade, I think Kyle Shanahan at this point would get an A in my mind for a great mix of run pass. So I wouldn't even consider it too cute. I just think it's an element of the NFL.
Not too cute. Kyle Shanahan has done a great job, and when you put those things out there on tape, defenses have to prepare for them, and they have to think about them. They have to be concerned about all of this trickeration, as I like to call it, in the Browns offense. So I don't think they are being too cute by any stretch of the imagination with this. I think this is a team that right now has been very, very efficient, both throwing and running the football. And I think a lot of it has to do with the great scheme that Kyle Shanahan's put together, the plays he's put together. And when you fake some of these reverses, you need to have shown the reverse for those fakes to be meaningful. Mike Pettine said as much. I agree with that. I think that this has been good. And when you don't have the guy that you can just run out there, you don't have Josh Gordon to just throw it out there and make a big play. You don't have Calvin Johnson or Dez Bryant. Sometimes you need to manufacture those big plays, and you do that by keeping a defense off balance and showing things that they may not be expecting to see. I thought the play to Manziel was perfect. If Brian Hoyer just waited a beat longer and Terrence West gets set, that's a big play. That's points on the board, and that could have been the difference between winning and losing Cleveland Browns in that football game.
After further review.
Okay, guys, right now, is Brian Hoyer a top 15 quarterback in the NFL?
After further review, right now I am going to say no. He is not. But he is on the cusp. And the only reason I'm saying he's not is I have not seen enough to continue to move him in front of some of the other quarterbacks that might be ranked in that top 15. But again, he's playing extremely well. He's giving this offense every opportunity to win football games. He's being very smart with the football, not turning the ball over one time this far this season. So he's close. He's very close to that top 15.
He's closer to the top 15 than you would have expected him, I think, to be through three games with those wide receivers. So he's done a phenomenal job. He has, in my mind, been a big-time asset to this team and has exceeded my expectations. We've heard many people say he's exceeded expectations. Brian Hoyer has been phenomenally good. I think you certainly take him out of where everybody had him, which would have been in the bottom 25% of the league, 25th to 32nd. I think he has done better than that. Is he in the top half of the league yet? I'm not so sure, but he's a lot closer than I thought he was going to be. I mean, just looking at the NFL quickly, you can kind of go through it and you can say, okay, you got obviously Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers. Now, has Tom Brady been good? Not so far, but is Tom Brady still one of the top half quarterbacks?
Yes.
Of course he is. Ben Roethlisberger.
Russell Wilson. Joe Flacco.
Andy Dalton. Nick Foles is certainly there.
Right.
Colin
Philip
Kaepernick.
Rivers.
Matt Stafford.
You get
Matt
to 15
Ryan.
Very quickly.
You get very quickly.
And so you have to take one of those out to put Brian Hoyer in, and that's why I truly feel like he's so close. It's just three more games the way he's playing, and I think he's inside that 15.
If you continue to take care of the football, the Browns are the only team in the NFL without a turnover. He's got the longest streak of passes without an interception. You continue to do things like that, you're going to get in the discussion. And frankly, he's had arguably the least amount of weapons as possible compared to these other quarterbacks who are all in the top 15. Brian Hoyer's done a great job, and the fact that that's even a legitimate question right now, 3 weeks into the season, speaks to what a great job Brian Hoyer, Kyle Shanahan, this entire offensive unit has done through the first 3 weeks of the season. And now it's going to be on a defensive head coach, Mike Pettine, a defense filled with leaders in Carlos Dansby, Dante Whitner, Joe Hayden, guys who have been to the Pro Bowl, Paul Kruger, to get the ship righted on that side of the football. If the Browns start playing defense at the level of the offense right now, the Browns are going to be a force, and they could go on a nice little tear here in the middle of this season.
They are, and I mean, that's what I'm getting so excited about is we're not asking the offense to do anything more than they're already doing. We saw a run game fall short of that 100-yard mark. you know. But yet Brian Hoyer did his part and stepped up and hit those wide receivers down the field, making up for a huge chunk of those yards. We didn't see the tight ends get off the way we'd like to get them off with Jordan Cameron just coming back from injury either. So that being said, is our defense doesn't need vast improvement. You know, yes, we'd love to see vast improvement, but just improvement. Some improvement is the difference in winning and losing in this league.
No question. And that's the key, because you got to expect at some point some kind of a regression, especially on the offensive side of the ball. You need to get your defense to play at a little bit higher of a level, because Brian Hoyer, while he has not thrown an interception, has not taken really many risks either with the football.
They're going to run into a buzzsaw at some point.
At some point, either he's going to have to take more risks and you're going to see kind of that risk-reward play come into it, or you're going to see the teams kind of clamp down and say, listen, the tendencies right now for the Browns are to throw the ball, I'd say, under 10 yards or over 20, throw it really deep. That intermediate, the drilling in the intermediate area down the seams, that hasn't been a forte yet, and I think teams are going to see that. They have time to study the Browns as well, now 3 games on tape. How the Browns adjust to that will be important. Brian Hoyer, though, if he continues his ball placement, his decision-making as sound as it has been, certainly the last 2 weeks, I think that the Browns are going to be in very good shape offensively, and he will continue to be in this conversation.
I agree. I think it's exciting. You know, I think that, and again, the fact of the matter is, you know, just receiving a tweet from somebody, it's fun to watch. You know, you're not tuning in to watch the Browns simply because it's the Browns, you know, and they're the closest professional team to the city that you live in.
This is a good brand of football.
This is a good brand of football that can compete week in, week out, which is, you know, you can proudly wear your Browns garb because we're so, so close. It's just fixing these tweaks that we will in this bye week that allow us to come to victory sooner than later.
That's right. The Browns on their bye this Sunday, but we'll be back with another edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, for you tomorrow. Got to thank Nate Ulrich from the Akron Beacon Journal, all of you for your great phone calls and tweets. Chris Kuhn on the board for us. Stay tuned for the Golden Boys up next here on ESPN 850. For Matt Wilhelm, I'm Nathan Zagura, saying thank you very much for listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
No matter what the season, Sal's Heating and Cooling keep